Or just guessing. They are hoping.
With your host, Brad Friedman, and producer, Desi Doyen.
There's enough going on right now. There are enough X factors still remaining that that's one I'd rather not contemplate.
Correct. You are, as usual, correct, Desi Doyen.
Tune in to The Bradcast every Monday at 3 p.m. right here on KPFK.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. The time now is 1 p.m.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, and from Santa Barbara to the OC and around the world on kpfk.org, this is The Car Show, broadcasting from 1 to 2 p.m. this week and every week here on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 52 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn of AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by the greatest co-host in the world, a practicing attorney specializing in automotive law, our Orange County Bureau Chief, Motor Press Guild member, and an owner of two Mazdas, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here again with you and to talk all about cars and what's happening in the SoCal car culture.
And we are joined as we, he seems to be a regular now. He may, we may get him on the stationery. Who knows? We are joined by a man whose resume is too long to list here, but it includes a stint at Super Street, which is really the most important part of it. And the thing that we love most about Carl Brower. Oops, I said his name. He is now a senior analyst at iccars.com. Please welcome Carl the Power Brower.
Yay. Hey, thanks for having me on yet again, guys. You haven't gotten sick of me yet, amazingly.
It's coming. Actually, Carl was out recording for his,
YouTube channel. My YouTube channel. Yeah.
What's that called?
Carl Brower. Remember, it's Carl with a K. Carl Brower Cars on YouTube. And we're trying to grow the channel. And we just posted, 2026 Genesis GB70, which we'll talk about a little more later, but that video just went up a couple days ago.
Carl actually cut short his shooting to come here and record, and we thank him for it. He will bring it up every time he needs to leverage us for something. Let's just dive right into it here, the calendar section. We're going to start off with something that has been going on for quite a while, and we just haven't had a chance to mention it because it happens on Saturday mornings. And right now, it is Saturday afternoon, so we're going to tell you about it, and you can put it on your calendar. Cars and Coffee Altadena. That's where all the terrible fires were, and the people, the car enthusiasts up there, came together and decided to just have a regular Cars and Coffee in Altadena. It is located at 749 East Altadena Drive in, guess where, Altadena. Saturday mornings at 8 a.m., go there and support those guys, commiserate with them and show them your car and look at their cars. It's cool. So this weekend is also down in San Pedro, California, Electrify Expo. This year they moved. It has been in the city of Long Beach. It was down there, Long Beach. It is now in San Pedro Street. It's on a dock in the harbor with a lovely view of the harbor and the hills of San Pedro. Dang near every major car maker or motorcycle maker with an electric vehicle will be there. I think every electric bicycle maker is there. There are electric skateboard makers. There used to be a couple of those, the Mike Nelson Sea Hunt underwater electric tow things. If you had your scuba tanks, you'd go underwater. Everything electric is there. E-scooter, e-bike, e-motorcycle zones are there where you can test, ride, and drive those things. There are opportunities to test drive electric vehicles. It's $20 to get in. It's open 10 to 5 today and tomorrow. So you could maybe still make it down there to San Pedro. It's at the end of Miner Street, M-I-N-E-R Street in San Pedro. You get off of the Harbor Freeway. Harbor Freeway turns into Gaffey Street. Everybody turns left. Just keep going until, I guess, maybe 22nd Street and then make a left there or wherever your Google Maps tells you to go. That's Electrify Expo today and tomorrow in San Pedro, California. If you need stuff, Carl is going to give you a suggestion here where to go. Carl, take it away.
Yes, I know. And I'm bummed because I'm here today, but tomorrow I fly to Denver. I'm flying out a few days early for a press launch in Denver, so I will not be able to attend the 50th Pomona swap meet at the Pomona Fairplex tomorrow from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Fairplex Gate 17, 1801 West McKinley in lovely Pomona. And it's only $15 per person to attend as a potential buyer. You have to pay a little more if you want to reserve a place to sell, which is often why I go there, as much or more to sell than to buy. But it is an incredibly effective, massive, and diverse swap meet. It certainly has car things. That's the primary theme for obvious reasons. But you can also get a lot of other type of things there, too. I've gone there and sold car stuff, but also DVDs and posters and other things. So check out that swap meet tomorrow and know that I'm bummed I can't be there myself because I always have fun there.
Ah, that's too bad. And you yourself, as you say, have made a place. So good for you.
Yep.
Somebody's making money out there in the world. It's usually Carl. But, okay, June 21st and 22nd is the 16th annual Born Free Motorcycle Show. I've never been to this, but they have a lot of internet ads, so that must be good, right? Silverado Canyon, California. That is this weekend, so today and tomorrow. Silverado Canyon, of course. Carl, where is, and Michelle, you guys are in the Orange County. Where is Silverado Canyon? Any idea?
It's right off of the toll road down there, off the 241 as it comes down. Yeah, it crosses the 241 and it intersect near the college. You probably know, Michelle, there's a college right out there too, and I always forget. But you, Silverado Canyon is a lovely canyon right off of, what's it called? It's El Toro, but then it becomes a different name when you go north on El Toro and it winds around past Silverado Canyon. I can't remember what
it's called. I think it's Portola.
I'm going to look it up now so I can say it during the show.
It's where we test drive our cars. I mean, P.S.
So. Yeah. All right. It's a good area. Pretty area.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
General admission is available at the gate. Check it out, and we will come back to you with that. We have, let's see, Time Trials is a documentary. That's the name of it, Time Trials. It's not an event. It is a movie documentary. It has been, it's about Mendy Fry, the drag racing you call nostalgic dragsters, slingshot dragsters, where the engine is in the front and the driver sits between the two spinning slicks. Very dangerous stuff. She has made a career out of that. And she is the first woman to run a 5-second quarter mile in a front engine top fuel dragster. Her journey is one of resolve, risk, and revolution, it says. Cole Kuntz is a sort of a drag racing historian slash writer slash journalist, and he kind of put the whole thing together with, of course, a lot of other people. So if you want to see this movie, they don't have a distribution deal yet, but it will be at the Marina Del Rey Film Festival. It will screen Wednesday, June 25th at 6:30 p.m. in the Culver Theater. That's Culver as in Culver City. The movie is called Time Trials, a drag strip requiem, a visceral new documentary by Cole Kuntz that traces the life and legacy of record-breaking drag racer Mendy Fry. So that sounds good. I might actually go and see that.
Hey, real quick on that motorcycle show. It's Santiago Canyon. I knew that was throwing me because it's like, it's not Silverado Canyon, but it's sort of like that. Santiago Canyon. Takes
they
you
call
right
it
past
Silverado Canyon in their ads.
Well, no, the Silverado Canyon is where the show is, and it's right off of Santiago Canyon.
Gotcha.
So get your Latin sounding canyon roads starting with an S straight. But yes, that's where it is.
Okay. Thank you, Carl. We've got Gene Winfield, Celebration of Life. Unfortunately, we lost the great customizer Gene Winfield just recently, and his Celebration of Life is happening June 28th at the Estrella Warbirds Museum in Paso Robles. As you drive into Paso Robles, you come over from the 5 up over the mountains there, and you'll see big signs for Estrella Warbirds Museum as you approach Paso Robles, June 28th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. More details and more good information available at, it says, at Gene Winfield _official. So check that out. Michelle.
And don't forget that at that same location is the Woodland Auto Display.
Yeah.
So you can do a twofer. You could go to the Celebration of Life and then enjoy the basically what's a car museum up there in Paso, and then go to Justin Vineyards to cap it off.
Good. Yeah, there's
a great day.
I have never been there, but it looks good. It looks pretty good. It sounds good, I should say. Yes. It looks good because I've never seen it.
And the Woodlands are big race supporters. They have a sprint car usually in the Chili Bowl in January down in Tulsa. Huge racing family.
And they're so right across, race cars. They're across the highway from one of the Arciero wineries. I don't know how many Arcieros there are, but you know, the Arciero family, of course, had cars at Indy, the Indy 500. And the young Arciero is an off-road racer in Baja in the Score Desert Series. So that's good. But if you don't want to go outside, Michelle, where should people go?
Go out to the park, Marina Green Park in Long Beach.
Okay. There, that's it. That's a transition. That'll work.
Yeah. Go there because they'll have tons of Toyotas because it'll be Toyota Fest on June 28th.
So, and last week we had one of the reps from Toyota Fest on, and he told us a lot about what's going to be there. It sounds like it's fun. I don't know if I've been to all of them because I think they have getting close to 30 of them now. Toyota Fest was the first one, and then they do that in the spring, and in the fall they do Japanese Classic Car Show. Both of them are held now at Marina Green Park in Long Beach, right on the straightaway of the Long Beach Grand Prix. Of course, there is no Long Beach Grand Prix going on right now, so don't worry. You can get across the street and get in there. Michelle.
If you missed our interview last week, you can go to kpfk.org and click on Archives. And from the drop-down menu, you can access our broadcast. And you can listen to that all over. If you missed something or you missed it the whole thing, we have it on the archives.
Or if you just want to hear it all again, come on. You can't hear us too much. Just listen to it again, even if you've already
heard it.
Yeah, for our obsessed fans out there, I don't think we have any, but it's put on by the Toyota Owners and Restorers Club. Toyota Owners and Restorers Club is abbreviated as TORC, T-O-R-C. Isn't that clever? Cute. I think you should go just because they came up with a clever name. So you can see everything, all kinds of cool Toyotas, Hiace or Hiace vans to stout pickups, Corollas, Celicas, Supras, various Lexi, on and on and on. And one bit of advice, don't whine about how long it takes to get in. Everybody, they say they've got more metal detectors now. I'll believe that when I see it, but the line may be like a quarter mile long, but the line goes right next to the fence, so you can actually see the show while you're waiting in line. So don't complain too much. ToyotaClub.org. Now, Michelle, if they don't want to go outside, where should they go?
To the indoor mall cruise. Same day, June 28th, at Moreno Valley Indoor Mall. And they're having an indoor car show there. And if you would like to register as either a person who shows or a vendor, you can go to Cars and Coffee Riverside.com, I think. People.
That jumped out at me.
Yeah, when they're giving us the info, they got to give us everything complete. So just Google.
Nobody ever does. Nobody does.
Google Moreno Valley Mall Indoor Car Show, and hopefully that'll bring up a link.
I spend half of my time, like they'll say what something is, but they won't say when or where. I spend half my time trying to track, and you go to their Instagram page, great drawings of cars, whatever, but
yes.
No idea where it is. And then like after a half an hour of research, you find out it's in North Carolina or something. So
yeah,
people, if you have an event, what do we need? We need just when and where, basically. And if you can say what, so much the better.
Yeah, you get bonus points, but this runs from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Moreno Valley Mall.
Very good. Very
good. No idea what kind of cars they'll have, but
it looked like their little internet ad had a picture of a custom lowered pickup truck. So,
okay.
Think Inland Valley, where people wear the ball caps that go over the outside of the ears.
No comment, not saying anything.
So, see if you can get one of those, and you know, they'll think you're one of them. So, Otherwise, same day, that is a big weekend. Fuel Fest LA is taking over Fairplex in Pomona on June 28th for the highly anticipated hometown show, they say. It's the NHRA is involved. They call it nonstop, real head-to-head grudge matches on the world-famous quarter-mile drag strip. Michelle, could legally speaking, would you insure that event?
Of course. Heck yeah. yes. So it's the, I thought you were going to ask me for the official name of the drag strip, the In-N-Out Burger NHRA drag strip.
That is your obsession, is getting that name right.
It totally is.
Okay. In-N-Out Burger, I don't understand either, but we do appreciate their support of motorsports, especially in Southern California. So go to fuelfest.com. Tickets are $30 to $55. And they're going to have, in addition to side-to-side drag racing, nonstop action from corner to corner with competition-style drifting and fan thrill rides, in addition to those head-to-head battles down the drag strip from top local and pro drivers. That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Get your nitro burn. And $30 to $55. Okay, not too bad.
That's not bad. It's affordable, sort of.
Fuelfest.com.
Even less expensive and right down in your neck of the woods, Michelle, is our next item.
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone loves the Marconi, right? Marconi Automotive Museum is down here in Tustin, right off of Tustin Ranch Road. It's in an industrial area. It's not in a place where you would expect it. But they're hosting Corvette Day on Sunday, June 29th from 9 to 11. If you'd like to show your Corvette, you have to pre-register. Don't just show up. Go to marconimuseum.org/Corvette Day. If you would like to spectate, they will charge you $15 at the door. But the deal with the Marconi, all of their events create an opportunity to donate funds to the Marconi Foundation for Kids. And this is an at-risk youth organization. It's a very worthy cause. So your $15 is supporting the Kids Foundation. And that you don't have to pay ahead for. But usually they have some of the Marconi family in attendance.
Don Marconi, the son of founder Dick Marconi, a great guy, once loaned me a Ferrari. There is no greater friend in, you know, they say that thing about then to lay your life down to. No, greater than that is to loan a Ferrari. So.
Yes. There. And he didn't make you sign a waiver or anything?
He didn't. So.
See, that's a friend.
Kudos to him.
That is a true friend.
All right. We got a quick, I'm just going to quickly rifle off the next ones so we can get to our guest today. First of all, the exhibit, Microcars exhibit at the Lyon Air Museum, right? Sort of on the north side of John Wayne Airport, starting July 1st through September 1st. So it's an exhibit that'll be all summer there. Get ready to shift into the tiniest gear of automotive history this summer. Lyon Air Museum presents the Microcars exhibit. You can find out more about Lyon at lyonairmuseum.org. So that's L-Y-O-N airmuseum.org. Skip on down here. Oh, Old Mission Motor Show in Santa Barbara, July 12th, 9 to 2 on the big lawn in front of the Mission. And finally, last item, the Roar of Lions Car Show, July 12th at Lions Automobilia Foundation, 2790 East Del Amo Boulevard in West Rancho Dominguez. It's also across the street from Compton. Easier to find. $35 gets you in. Okay, we are going to jump right into our news section. We're going to start out with a very interesting bit of news that I just found out. We lament, we wail, and gnash our teeth about the loss of racetracks in Southern California. Well, here is a racetrack that is not lost. It is a K1 karting track, 1.1 miles long in Winchester, California. And we have Ryan Jerneka of K1 Speed. Welcome, Ryan.
Great. Thank you very much, Mark. Michelle, Carl, it's a pleasure to be here.
We are lucky, glad to have you on the show because you actually probably know a lot about karting. Are you a karter yourself?
I am, yeah, casual cutter. Never did it professionally, but yeah, started as a K1 Speed customer, oh gosh, back in 2007 or so, and still love doing that kind of stuff. The rental stuff is good enough for me. I think that's pretty much the limit of my capabilities.
Did you spend all of your paper route money on carting?
Yeah, pretty much. And then I had to work for the company to try to make the money back.
That's actually a pretty smart plan. Pretty smart plan.
Yeah, so,
so how big is K1 Speed? Are they nationwide, global, Southern California?
They are now global, if you can believe that. All started in Carlsbad. 2003 was their first location. So over 20 years later now, we've got over 100 locations actually now, either open or in planning. 30 different states in the country, and then we're in over a handful of nations worldwide. So it's still growing. It's pretty tremendous.
And where is this latest? Tell us about this latest track in Southern California. What is it? Where is it? Tell us about
it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, you know, we're known for our indoor karting, but this is our very first outdoor karting venture. This is out in Winchester, California, as you said. That's Riverside County. It's pretty much right between, you know, I would say Riverside and Temecula. It's right in the middle there. So it's about an hour and a half away from LA. So, yeah, a relatively short drive. We've got a great prime spot of land out there. It's nestled right in the foothills. It's gorgeous. And as a result of it, the track is a very gorgeous track.
Does the track go up and down, elevation changes?
You betcha. We got 33 feet of elevation change out there. We've got an 11-degree bank corner, which is tremendous. Wow. We've got some downhill sweeping S's as well. The whole track is, and I'm not just saying this because I work for K1, it really is a first-rate track, and I'm hearing it from all these professional carters that have visited the place as well. We have built it to pretty much be a smaller-scale IndyCar/F1 road course. I mean, even down to the pavement itself, that was all done according to the same paving standards that race car tracks are built from. We've done everything to the CIK FIA specifications. So that's the kind of international karting specifications when it comes to the curbing out there, the runoffs, the fencing, you name it. It's really done well. When you drive out there, you're not experiencing bumps. It is like glass out there, but with a lot of grip nowadays.
It's like grippy glass.
Yeah, it really is. It's a miniature road course.
I heard Charles making noises.
Not something Tom and Lee said together, right?
Carl's going to spend all of his automotive journalist money, I think, out there now.
Yeah. Which means I'm not going to get many laps. But still, it sounds amazing, Ryan. Like that's quite a set of features at a karting track, you know. And real quick on K1, it was just funny when Mark was asking. It's like, is it nationwide? I've seen that sign in plenty of other cities outside of Southern California. So I've noted it in other locations when I've been traveling. It's like, wow, look at that. So it's out there. Awesome.
Yeah, no, man, we really are.
Can you tell us about the carts themselves?
Yes. So very much like K1 Speed, we're really kind of the pioneer of the indoor electric karting thing and what was a very gas dominated industry. We're now trying to do the same thing when it comes to the outdoor karting. We actually do have a fleet of all electric, practically competition carts. They are a radically different beast from what you may be used to at K1 Speed. They're made by the same people. It's OTL. It's an Italian karting manufacturer. But the stuff, like I said, we're pretty much giving the general public a competition cart. Now, the great thing about the electric is we can look out for people's safety. While a lot of people probably assume they can handle the 80 plus miles per hour that carts are capable of doing, we do start them off at a relatively safe speed of about 45 miles per hour.
So do you control the output of the engine, a motor?
Correct. Yeah. Wow. And even on the remote, we can do that, which is great.
It's just like the government is controlling my car.
I was just going to say it's a precursor. It's a precursor of all the cars we'll be driving on public roads.
So you start everybody starts out with what? How many horsepower or kilowatts?
45 miles per hour. Yeah, I mean it's kilowatts. It's 20 something kilowatts.
Nobody knows what a kilowatt is. I don't know why I added it in there.
So I would say speed wise about 45. The next level up would be about 60.
So if I went there and Carl was there, if I paid you an extra $20, you would give my cart more power.
we'll talk after this.
Okay. Carl, you didn't hear that.
I like it.
But you have, in addition to the electric carts, you have events or you allow or what? There are gas carts out there.
So exactly right. So we use the all electric carts for the arrive and drive rental carts out there. We also use them for our leagues as well, which we can get to a little later. But yeah, we do allow gas carts out there as well. So from Tuesday through Sunday, we actually have open practice from 9 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock for anybody that owns a gas cart. They can actually go out there and get their practice in. In fact, we have a lot of professional carters that come out there to practice either for a pro karting event that we have there that weekend or, you know, for any other event. It's also been popular already in off season. In the colder months, they'll come out there just to make sure that, you know, they don't get too rusty. In fact, we actually have a SCUSA, which is probably the top tier national karting series that there is out there, Superkarts USA. They have an event actually happening this weekend. I know you've already got a busy weekend ahead, but that is something to keep on your radar as well.
How much would it cost to go out there and take a few laps? What are the package prices?
So like K1 Speed, it does require a license, and that does start at $49.95. That's good for a whole year. We also give you some goodies, get you the head sock, get you a shirt, get you some other stuff. And then to start with, it's $39 for a single race, but the more races you buy, the cheaper it gets. So for instance, you can get a 3-race package for $105. So it does trim down that cost a little bit.
It's like those guys on the street corner who say your first one is free.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Except your first one isn't free here.
free. So
how long is a race, Ryan?
Each race is 10 minutes. 10 minutes in total duration at lap and in lap. It's about 8 minutes of full green flag racing for you. And let me tell you, I actually just went out there for the first time in a long time. I was spent after 8 minutes, I have to admit. It's very physical. The G's now that the track has rubbered in, you feel them. Again, this K1 Speed can even give you a workout, but this outdoor karting track, like I said, it's a whole nother level.
I can only imagine because the sense of speed on carts, that's the whole point, is that you are sitting on the ground practically, and there's no you know, big car or dashboard or airbags all around you. So your sense of speed, when you started talking about 80 miles an hour, it's like, that's going to feel like 280 miles an hour if you're in a cart.
Exactly. At 45 miles per hour, you know, the initial speed on there, honestly, I'm pretty good with that.
Yes, you know? Me too. So,
but you're absolutely right. When you're just a couple inches off the ground, everything is flying by you really, really quick.
Uh-huh. All right, Carl. I'm sorry, Rory. Ryan, your brother's name is Rory. Jeez, hi, Rory. In case you're listening,
you're like my mom, Mark. It's okay.
That's how I want you to think of me. So, once again, where is it, and when is it open, and how do they get there?
Absolutely. So again, it's Winchester, out in Riverside County. Plug it into Google, Apple Maps, whatever you want to do. K1 Circuit is the name. Again, it'll take you about an hour and a half outside of LA, about the same from OC, and really about the same from San Diego. So we're kind of a good focal point there in Southern California area. We are open 7 days a week. Now, again, as I said, we do sometimes have professional karting events on the weekends. So do check our calendar on our website. K1Circuit.com is where you can find that. But we do arrive and drive rental carts from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. Again, barring any special
birthday parties, bachelor parties, parties.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can do it. I mean, it's not going to be like a birthday party at K1 Speed. It's going to be a little more mature, you know, and a little more geared towards the minimum age, I must say, is 13 years old there. You have to be at least 5 feet tall to drive our rental carts. But yeah, for sure. And especially when it comes to corporate events, I mean, it's a very unique team building kind of an event you can have out there.
All right. And one more time, the price of the license and the price of the 10-minute race.
Yeah, sure. So the license is $49.95. The 10-minute race, which really 8 minutes of green flag time, you're looking at $39 to start with. But again, the more races you buy, the more you save.
All right. Thank you so much, Ryan, for coming on to tell us about the all-new K1 Speed Track, 1.1 miles long in Winchester, California. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. I'm gonna kick you off, but it's nothing personal. Okay.
I'm
all right. Bye.
Thanks, Ryan. Take care.
Thank you, Ryan.
Take care. Uh-huh.
Okay, Ryan's gone. Now we can talk about him. No, come on. That's not.
I think it sounds awesome.
It sounds awesome. And that, you know, you compare that to any other kind of racing, you know, there's no way to do cheap racing anymore. And you get.
No. And the sense, I mean, a lot. Yeah, 1.2 miles, bank turns, elevation changes, and it's $39 for a race. Yeah, try that at any other type of track. And it's like, yeah, but you're in a full-size car at another track. Yeah, and you're not going to have any more sense of speed in that full-size car. And you're going to get in those carts. And you're probably going to hone your skills. What does every professional racer have a history of doing, both in training to race and right. what they do in their off-season to stay sharp? What do they do?
Kart racing.
There you go.
And drinking. No, not anymore. No more drinking. Just karting. So drinking and karting don't mix.
No.
Carl, since we got you on the microphone, what is going on with car prices out there? Carl, as you may know, folks, is from iccars.com. He is the senior analyst there. They analyze millions of automotive transactions, buying and selling, and they pull data from that and arrange it in all kinds of ways. So this is not just made up data. This is not scanning the LA Times classified section. This is actual data. So what is going on out there, Carl?
It's kind of crazy because we saw prices for used cars go through the roof during COVID. We didn't have new cars being produced, so new cars were rare. So everyone had to run to the used car market, and that drove up used car prices. The two are always closely tied. Well, they've been coming down for the last couple of years, but now they've gone up the past 3 months. And they went up 2% in May, so they just keep rising. Ironically, Tesla prices keep falling, and electric cars in general. So, you know, the headline of our study is, our latest study at IC Cars is used prices going up, Tesla prices going down. But that's really amazing in my mind, just because I thought we were kind of done, but I call it the COVID hangover, right? If you lose new car production for 2 years, like we did, and then 3 years go by, now you've got all the used cars that you would be buying that weren't produced ever in the first place as new cars. So that's why we're in 2025 and feeling the effects still from 20 through 2022. Plus, all sorts of indications I've seen in research suggest that a lot of people who lease vehicles at the end of their 3-year lease are looking at what the cost of their next leased vehicle or a new vehicle. And they're like, what's the buyout on my car? And they're like, I'll take it. So a lot of people are buying out their cars after 3 years. And that's another source for used cars that it's drying up, or we're not getting the same flow from the leased world of new cars into the used car world after 3 years. So you put that together, lack of new cars produced a few years ago, and the few that got out there as leases being more likely to be bought by their lease customer. And guess what? Used cars are still in hot demand. And I keep thinking, well, you know, the economic circumstances, seems like there's a certain amount of concern and maybe people aren't feeling quite as spendy as they felt 6 months or a year ago. But I keep thinking prices of everything should fall. And whether it's houses or cars, they're holding up pretty solid. So
now's the time to buy a Tesla, a used Tesla.
It is a good time to buy a used Tesla. It's funny. You know, I just was talking to one of the local stations, because we also can look at locally which specific models in a given city are going up and down. And I just had a local station, I think in Alabama, Birmingham, and they were like, so the Model Y is like the second biggest drop in the past year. Good time to buy a Model Y? I said, yeah, it is. If you want to buy a Model Y, they're cheap.
If you don't mind getting egged.
Right, or yelled at. Just but otherwise.
Buy a different kind of label on the back. I saw a Tesla Cybertruck that had Rivian on the back. So yeah. Very clever.
Somebody who took their, they took a Mazda little name badge and put it on the back of a Cybertruck. That's not fooling anybody, people.
But it's funny.
It's hilarious.
All the haters will give you a pass just for creativity, probably. So you're
absolutely. I'd give that guy a thumbs up.
And he would be happy to see you do that. I bet you.
Probably.
So good. So speaking of, here's a segue for you. Tesla's made by Elon Musk, who also does rockets. Guess who just landed a rocket, a reusable rocket?
And it wasn't Elon.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It wasn't Elon. It was Honda. Honda just landed a rocket. So they did a reusable rocket, a 20-foot-tall, 3,000-pound rocket, took off and landed safely without blowing up. Honda says it conducted a launch and a landing test of an experimental reusable rocket last week at their facility in Hokkaido. Hokkaido, if you've ever been, is the northernmost of the largest of the seven Japanese islands. It's beautiful. It's like, I don't know, beautiful evergreen trees and ski resorts. It's like a vacation paradise. So that's where they do. They do it up there because it's less populated. And they're not going to, I think they have a 1 kilometer circle around the rocket every time that it flies. But it flew up 1,000 feet, came back down and landed softly. Now, I wasn't aware that Honda did this, but they've been, since 2021, Honda has been pursuing research and development in the field of space technologies. And since 2024, it has been safely conducting engine combustion tests and hovering tests for its reusable rockets. So who knows where this is going? You know, maybe we'll all be riding. Everybody who grew up with an Accord and a Civic will now be driving around in a Honda rocket. And if somebody can come up with a good name for the production version of the Honda rocket, send it in and we'll steal it from you and trademark it and get rich off of that. So, but anyway, all right. Another big, speaking of rockets, let's see, we have enough time for this. Speaking of rockets, Chevy is coming out with a Corvette ZR1X. Have either of you guys heard of the ZR1X?
No.
I've seen some impressive performance figures quoted.
What does the Z stand for? We should all know this.
Zora.
Very good. Very good. Zora. So apparently everyone knew that this was coming, but the name was a bit of a surprise. We sort of thought it would just be called the Zora, but it's called the ZR1X because, of course, ZR1 is another Corvette model and the X means all wheel drive. So the X adds a hybrid drive module to the front axle of the already potent Corvette ZR1 and turns it into what might be the most brutally quick car to leave a Chevrolet factory. So we're looking forward to driving that. They've just announced it. Now it's a ZR1 with a 5.5 liter dual overhead cam V8 behind the driver with a pair of 76 millimeter turbochargers to help it throw out 1,064 horsepower to an 8-speed dual clutch automatic transmission. That's the ZR1. Now the ZR1X starts with that and adds that electric motor to the front. So it should be ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Looking forward to the ridiculousness of it all. Let's see. We have a minute and a half. Which one should I do here? I'm going to go with the new Nissan Leaf. Have you guys heard about this? There's a new Nissan Leaf coming.
Just saw something earlier today.
It's coming out at in fall. We'll see this. The new range is up to 303 miles on a charge. Now, we all remember when the Leaf first came out, it couldn't get to 100 miles. It was like maybe on a good day, it was 90. If you had to go up a hill, it was 80. Those days are gone. It will now go, if you get the bigger battery and the more powerful motor, it'll go 303 miles on a charge. It'll hold 55.5 cubic feet of cargo. It was redesigned on a new platform that will also, that platform, so it's not just going to be a Leaf. It shares the platform with the Ariya or Araya, however you want to say that. But it could and probably will spawn a number of other really cool-looking Nissan electric vehicles, including possibly a pickup truck, a convertible, and a couple of neat looking, what would you call them? Crossover utility vehicles. But in the drawings, they looked really neat. You can go see them at autoweek.com if you want. So how much time we got? Oh, we got enough to do this last one too. Speaking of Honda is going, you know, up and down in rockets. It is also going back and forth, delivering stuff in cities. They've announced something called an e-quad. So it's like, what is it? It's four wheels and electrically powered. It's a last mile delivery box, sort of a van cycle, all electric with swappable batteries, regenerative braking, and over the air updates. And it's going to launch next year. So there we go. That's all the news that's fit to print. We're going to go to reviews, and we have been waiting for this review for weeks. We know that Michelle got this vehicle, and we can't wait to hear how she liked it. Michelle, take it away.
Yes, I had the Rivian, the R1S, which is their three-row SUV. And it's an EV, obviously. Rivian is only an EV car company. And shall we wave the Orange County flag, Carl?
Always.
It is based here in Irvine. Started in Irvine and is still here. The company is on fire. So they recently, by the way, are hiring for a communications department head. So if you know anybody.
Should we go?
They're
Should
looking.
Ditch this radio show and get the big bucks?
Yeah. Heck yeah. You should, Mark. I think no. Carl likes his gig at IC Hybrids. So this is the thing with Rivian is it's a luxury market brand. So the interior is lovely. They do a wonderful job on styling. Everything in there is organic. You know, wood is beautiful. It's real wood. It's real leather. If you don't want that, you can get fabrics. You can go, if you want a vegan interior package, they have it. And they have it in
a
package.
You can eat it?
Colors.
You can eat the interior edible?
Sure. Yeah. You can
what
have
is vegan.
You can have your car seats.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And your floor mats too. If you get really hungry, you can eat those floor mats.
All right.
Which are, by the way, designed in like a plaid pattern, which is very cool. Like they have excellent designers at Rivian. So obviously this R1S has been around for a while. There's nothing new about it to talk about, but it has a 400 mile range. There are four different trim levels. The lowest range, I mean, as tested, I had the top, obviously. They always give you the top trim level. I mean, usually. But the lower trim level has 270-ish range. The usable capacity, and Mark, this is for Mark, 92.5 kilowatt hours.
That's big.
Okay.
But it's a big, heavy vehicle, so.
Yeah, the battery is lithium ion, and I can't read it.
Well, just go with lithium ion. You know that there are different compositions of lithium ion, different chemistries.
Really?
I mean, you could dive into the rabbit hole on so many of these things, battery chemistries.
The third is phosphate. There we go. I just didn't read it.
Is it iron or ion phosphate?
Ion.
Ion, because there's also lithium iron phosphate, which is cheaper, does not catch fire, and doesn't have quite the same range, but almost the same range that it seems like the miracle battery that's on the horizon.
Maybe I wrote it down wrong because these are my handwritten notes. So check with your service advisor on this.
Okay.
All right. So, and also here's another thing that's really different about Rivian from other EV car companies. It's off-road capable by design. That's how they wanted to make it. So it has ginormous wheels, 22 inchers. That's standard. It has all the features you'd want for getting off road and getting out into the forest, the desert, whatever climate you want. It's already ready for that. So now let's go to a couple of negatives. I used it for moving. I wanted to fold down the seat in the back. There was a gap. It wasn't flat. So I found that that was a little difficult with pushing boxes in because I had to ride over that gap to push those in.
Does the seat slide back and forth to close that gap?
I tried that and it did not work for me. So maybe I did need some tech on that. It's possible. The other thing is ride quality. It was a little, I was a little woozy in it. If I drove a lot on the freeway, it's a little, your head bobs. How's that? So you feel a little.
They call it head toss in a side to side motion. And that's something that engineers try to eliminate. So Rivian's got to work on that. Okay, good.
They do. And I felt a little like I had sea legs if I was taking it on the freeway. So,
We're drinking and driving, of course, because we don't recommend that.
Oh, no. All right. Never. No, not that.
So
but she felt like, but she might as well have been, it sounds like, the way she was feeling, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Right. That's right.
So they have a couple different motor configurations as well. So they have a dual motor as tested. I had the tri-motor. And so that's how you get a different range going with it. 553 horsepower on the tri-motor, 610 pound-feet of torque, and really nice tow capacity. So
yeah, what is that tow capacity?
7,700 pounds.
That's good. Wow.
I mean, yeah, I thought that was pretty impressive just for...
For an electric car, yeah.
Especially one that starts out weighing, usually tow capacity... It is getting sucked up by the weight capacity of the car that's being, that you're using as the tow car when it's an electric car. So the fact that it weighs as much as it does before you hook anything up to it, and it can still tow 7,700 pounds, is impressive.
Yeah, it is a large SUV. You know, like I said, it's three rows. It can handle a lot of people, kids, cars, cats, dogs, and luggage. okay, pricing, MSRP on the lowest trim level is $78,450. As tested, $107,700. You should know that this month, Rivian is offering $5,000 off on any purchase or lease of any R1S or R1T, which is their pickup truck. That's through June 30th. And you have to call a certain number to get that discount. Here's the number, 888-RIVIAN-1. So it's 888-RIVIAN and the digit 1. Call the sales advisors and they'll apply that discount for you. And you can also book a demo drive. They really want people to get in the car and see how it works.
Well, you could take, I think they're going to be at Electrify Expo, right?
Yes, so they are.
Around there and see that. Yeah. And last year at Electrify Expo, Rivian showed the R2 and the R3, I think.
Those are coming in 2027.
Good.
Yeah, and they are smaller. And those are the ones that a lot of people have their eye on, and you can put down a discount or a deposit now if you like.
Okay.
Warranty. We don't always talk about warranties, but this thing has a 60,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty. The battery and drivetrain warranty is 8 years or 175,000 miles. Again, I think that's unusual and worthy of mention here.
Okay. And I want to throw in, R2 is expected to start, according to Rivian, at around $45,000.
Yeah, that's great.
$100 deposit, as Michelle said.
Yeah.
They're saying here R2 delivery is slated to begin in the first half of 2026.
Oh, okay. So I was pushing it out further than it should.
Less than a year away. Nice.
Right. And those are about the size of, you know, your Subaru Crosstrek. Or your Ford Escape, right. Or those kind
Porsche,
of
Porsche Macan. Yeah, it's right in there.
Yeah.
The R3 and the R3X, that R3 looks like a Volkswagen Golf. they're promising for that 300 miles of range, 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds for this R3. So,
you know, fun.
I hope they, you know, keep cranking them out, right? Yeah. Michelle had a good time in this. You say you're giving it sort of thumbs up to
shaft
up.
Listen, I had it for. I could have used it for another week to get my move. I'm still not moved. So it was very helpful. I mean, come on, have you ever tried to move using a Miata or or an RX-8?
No.
So this really was great timing. Thank you, Rivian, for helping me move.
Good. And a friend of mine has an R1S that he has put big off-road tires on. And regularly takes it out off-road with, I think it's the Orange County Rivian Club. And they're going out in the desert and just four-wheeling. And it apparently is quite capable off-road. And even more so if you put a little bit of aftermarket at it. So, good. Michelle enjoyed that.
Very much.
I am glad to hear it. And we're assuming Carl enjoyed his cars, too. You can talk about both or one, Carl. I would kind of like to get to mine just to justify it, but Carl, the floor is yours. The mic is yours.
Thank you, Mark. I'll focus this time. Well, next week we'll talk about the other one I got that's crazy.
Okay.
But I just posted a video on my Carl Brower Cars YouTube channel on the 2026 Genesis GV70. And the version I had was the 3.5T Sport Prestige. So it's one of those names that takes a while to say everything, but the 3.5T is the larger twin turbocharged six cylinder engine. And its Sport Prestige trim is the top trim. So as Michelle just noted, they gave me the most expensive one. And this is a direct competitor for the Porsche Macan, the BMW X3, the Mercedes GLC. It's that incredibly competitive entry luxury compact SUV market. And the Genesis is really impressive. You go out and you do some research and you find a lot of sites out there rank it extremely high. And sure enough, having
Car Driver has it number one in that segment.
Yeah, a lot. I think Edmund likes it more than everything else too. I think it's their top ranked one. And that's Porsche Macan, that's a great SUV. And this thing is in that segment and it's outranking the cars like that. The X3 is a great car. The GLC I really like. And now I've driven it and I'm like, oh, so the power is fabulous. The level of luxury inside that vehicle. And again, I had the top trim one, but when you look at the standard list for the base one, the 2.5T, the four-cylinder engine, it's still really well-equipped, even without going to the top trim. And of course, I did have the top trim, so I had the active suspension and the head-up display and the second row, like outboard heated seats, all the really cool features that you can get and really nice material quality too. And I think the car is beautiful. If you just go take a look at it, go look up a Genesis GV70 right now. And this was the mid-cycle refresh, by the way. Everyone on this show knows, but you know, these cars typical car runs for 5 to 7 years, and it's usually gets a mid-cycle refresh about halfway through. GV70 first hit the market in 22, this is the 26th, and it's got all these updates for the model year. So it doesn't look drastically different on the outside because it didn't need to, and I'm glad it did. They didn't change it, but they made the headlights and the taillights and the exhaust tips better. But the interior has that really wide 27-inch new technology screens, the combination of the gauge cluster and the central touchscreen all in one long, but or I should say wide, but low gauge and touchscreen combination. So it doesn't distract you when you're driving it because it's not even above the hood line. So you can see over it when you want to focus on the road. And yet there's all this great information right there at your hands when you're at your fingertips to look at or to engage with on the touchscreen when you want to. And I think the car companies have finally figured out we don't like the iPad stuck on at the last minute look, which they had for years. And we don't like the distracting screens that protrude too high. And they've really got this kind of large, wide, low screen design down across a lot of manufacturers, Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis. They are related, of course, and they're all putting this 27-inch wide configuration in their cars now. And it looks great. So real quick, it's a $49,000 base price for the entry-level one, which, like I said, is still well-equipped, and it gets to 60 miles an hour in about 5.8 seconds, still even kind of fast. And then the $72,000 loaded-to-the-gills one that I had and had everything, and that's the six-cylinder one that will get you to 60 miles an hour in 4.8 seconds. I think it makes 375 horsepower, something like that. I'm forgetting. I know the base one makes 300 horsepower, 311 pound-feet of torque. I think it's 375 and 391 pound feet of torque in the six. So fabulous car.
375. You are correct. I got that.
So it's just a fabulous car. It looks really good. And I had a great color. It was like this Mauna red, M-A-U-N-A. Sound like a Hawaiian color name, red. And it was beautiful. All right. The floor is yours now, Mark. I know you want to get to touch on your car, but I'm very impressed with the GV70.
Okay, and in that same class of vehicle, we are kind of talking about what would you say mid-size crossover utility vehicles, which are very, very popular now. I think the only thing more popular is the compact crossover utility vehicle. Second in line is this one. Now, Carl's was rated by our good friends at Car and Driver. That Genesis was rated number one in the class. The one that I drove was rated number 10 in the class, and I don't really know why. It's the Mercedes 2025 Mercedes GLE 450 4MATIC SUV. Starts at $72,500. It has a turbocharged inline six making 362 horsepower. So, I mean, it's, you know, approximately the same as the Genesis. You can also get it with a four-cylinder turbocharged engine that makes 255 horsepower. You can get a twin-turbo four-liter V8 that makes over 500. But mine was the straight six that's good for 0 to 60 in 5.3 seconds. I got to say, I don't know how you could find a fault in this thing. Maybe I've only had it for, well, let's see, when did I got it? Almost a week now. And I put a lot of miles on it. I got to say that some of these Mercedes, I find them to be a little bit distracting on the inside, particularly, and a lot of this stuff can be turned off. That ambient lighting where it goes from pink to blue to green to whatever you want, I tend to find that to be, I don't know, distracting. Let's see. How's that politically? Distracting. It reminds you, like, when you're getting out of the car, excuse me, you've left your phone. You know, which is helpful, but I don't want to be told that. I would rather find the phone 2 hours later, yes, after tearing up the inside of the house and then remember that I put it out there. I don't want the car telling me that. I sound like Larry David. It's a very comfortable car. So I had to do some long range drives today. We've got, how much time do we have? Oh, we have 3 minutes. All right. Yeah. I had to go today. I went down to Torrance to Alpine Stars to get my Nomex fireproof driving suit with matching booties, ooh, gloves. Lovely. So I'm ready for anything.
Nice.
I'm ready to go out to K1 Speed.
There you go.
Carl and Michelle, we will all go out there. We'll get KPFK
to
pay for it. Yes. Anyway, and so I did a lot of trips about like that. So, you know, a half hour each way. And the car I just found was very comfortable. I enjoyed being in it. I was not at all, you know, miffed. There were just those small things that kind of got in the way. But if you look at the price, $72,500, again, that's not really real world. I wouldn't spend that. But there are a lot of people who are in that class who like it. And mm-hmm. for them, I think for a lot of people, the Mercedes badge means a lot.
Yes.
And they are willing to pay for that. They're willing to put up with, a couple of weird things about the car. But I enjoyed it. I didn't have any trouble with it. I didn't necessarily feel the need to get a V8. A Car and Driver recommends that you get the four cylinder just to save money because nobody's really doing any drag racing in this thing anyway. So
that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, because it's a suburban car, basically, right? For your soccer mom types and people soccer dads and urban commuters who want some extra room for things on the weekends or something. But
right. It's a two-row, and I think people, a lot of times when you're right about cars, you say, oh, you have to have a three-row. You go down this spec sheet, and if it doesn't have certain things, you diss the car. But I think two rows seats five people.
Yeah,
I think that's fine. I think that's fine for most use,
for most.
Unless you have a really strange carpool. So we've got 45 seconds left here.
Well, on the three row thing, there's a lot of people who buy cars for max use case, and so they're like, once a year my family comes in for Thanksgiving, so I need to get a Suburban.
Yeah,
and I always wish I could tell these people, how about you buy a five seater two row vehicle.
30 seconds.
Once a year, you get a rental for 3 days. You know how much money you'll save in insurance and gas and
that is the voice of reason, and people do not want to hear that. Though, even though we are preaching, and it's not to the choir.
Don't
all right,
raise your money.
Stick around for Rhapsody in Black music that sounds great on your car audio. Go to our website, Facebook page. What is it, Michelle?
The Car Show, KPFK 90.7 FM. Beware of imitators. We are the
Michelle.
Show on KPFK.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. And we will see you all next week on The Car Show.
Coming up this week on LA Theater Works.
A religious scholar is searching for answers.
I want a clear view of God.
Even as her own faith is shaken.
Why would God allow such a thing?
The Busy World is Hushed by Keith Bunin. Next time on LA Theater Works.
That's this Sunday evening from 10 p.m. until midnight. LA Theater Works right here on KPFK.
Donate your used car, truck, or boat to the KPFK Vehicle Donation Program. It's an easy way to help support KPFK and receive a tax deduction. All you have to do is call 877-KPFK-AUTO. an operator will arrange a good time to pick up your vehicle. 877-KPFK-AUTO or go online to kpfk.org.
Carrie Harrison with your Pride Pulse. Don't let the glitter fool you. There's still work to do. From anti-LGBTQ plus laws to attacks on trans rights, the struggle didn't end with marriage equality.